Our study in the 28th chapter of Genesis continues, and we're about the 13th to 14th verse here, but I'd like to go back and give the setting for this passage. Jacob is now on the way to Haran from Beersheba, a journey of about 500 miles, which would take him several weeks to make. He seems to be alone on this journey, and he's rather inexperienced at taking care of himself out in the wild, not like Esau was, who was a mighty hunter. He's on the journey for two reasons. First of all, he is fleeing the wrath of Esau because Esau threatened to kill him since he'd gotten the blessing and the birthright. And second of all, Rebekah and Isaac are concerned about the fact that he needs to have a wife from a proper source, a wife that believes like he does about the true and living God. So they're sending him back to the area of Rebekah's family so he can also find a wife. Well, he's on the journey now, and we'd like to begin reading in verse 10 from Genesis 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So here we have a tremendous vision given to Jacob, and it's actually the first vision we have record of him receiving from God. He's now on his own. He's now trying to be prepared to be the head of this line of descent that would lead to Christ, actually. And we see it, he sleeps on this pillar of rocks. He has this great vision come, and he sees a ladder extending from heaven to earth, and with the Lord at the head of this ladder. And so this was a very encouraging vision for Jacob. This ladder that he saw had angels ascending and descending upon it, with God himself at the head of it. And this represents two things that are very comfortable to the people of God at all times and in all conditions. First of all, this shows the providence of God by which there is a constant correspondence kept up between heaven and earth. The counsels of heaven are executed on earth, and the actions and affairs of the earth are all known in heaven and judged there. The will of God does its work gradually and by steps. Angels are employed as ministering spirits to serve all the purposes and designs of the will of God, and the wisdom of God is at the upper end of the ladder, directing all the motions of the earthly beings to the glory of the great God in heaven. The angels are active spirits, continually ascending and descending. They rest not day nor night from service according to the post assigned them. They ascend to give the accounts of what they have done and to receive orders, and then descend to execute the orders they have received. Thus we should always abound in the work of the Lord, that we may do it as the angels do it. We read in Psalms 103, verses 20 through 22, Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This vision that Jacob sees here gives him very great comfort, letting him know that he had both a good guide and a good guard in all of his actions, and that though he was made to wander from his father's house out here in the wilderness, yet still he was in the care of a kind and merciful God, and he had this host of holy angels serving him and ministering to him. Jacob was now the type and representative of the whole church, which the angels are entrusted to care for. The second thing that this great vision shows here is the mediatorship of Christ. Christ is the mediator between God and man. He is this ladder, the foot on earth in his human nature, the top in heaven in his divine nature, or the former in his humiliation, the latter in his exaltation. All the exchange between heaven and earth since the fall is by this ladder. Christ is the way. All God's favors come to us, and all our services go to him by Christ. If God dwell with us, and we be with him, it is by Christ. We have no way of getting to heaven other than by this ladder. If we try to climb up any other way, we're thieves and robbers. Jesus alluded to this vision in John 1:51 when he speaks of the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That verse says, "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And let us remember that all of the kind things that angels do to us, all the benefits we receive by their ministration, are all due to Christ, who has reconciled things on earth and things in heaven, according to Colossians 1:20. That verse says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And this is also referred to in Ephesians 1, verse 10, where that verse says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And as the Bible tells about the ministries that these angels conduct on behalf of the heirs of salvation, there is several occasions in the Bible where this is spoken of. In Job 1 and 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Job 2, verse 1, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." Here we see the Bible talks about a council someplace in which the sons of God, these angels, are meeting with God, and Satan comes to the meeting. Daniel 9, 21 through 23. "Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I have come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, and consider the vision." And we have more about this angel dealing with Daniel in Daniel 10, verses 10 through 13. "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me up on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." We read of Jesus being ministered to by angels when he was in the temptation. In Mark 1:13, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." In Luke 22:42-43, while Jesus was praying, we read, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." In Acts 12:11, we have the experience of the Apostle Peter. That verse says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul was on the ship as a prisoner, being taken by the government to Rome, there to appear before Caesar. And there's a great storm here, and the ship is going to soon be lost. This is what he says. Acts 27, verse 22 and 23. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. So here we have Paul talking about the angel appearing unto him during this time of crisis. So numerous accounts in the Bible of these angels appearing to the people of God and ministering to them. Well, today we don't have the miraculous manifestations of the Spirit, but we do still have these angels ministering to us just like they had in the olden times. They are the ministers of God. They are here for our benefit and for our purpose. And we again quote from Hebrews 1:14, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So this is a very much of a reality of the angels going back and forth from earth to heaven. And that's the vision that Jacob saw here, these angels going back and forth. And it's just simply showing this activity of communication and implementation of God's commands. Jacob saw it as he viewed the ladder in his dream. Perhaps he had often wondered about the accessibility of God and whether or not he really was as concerned with the affairs of men as Abraham and Isaac had taught that he was. He had no doubt read of the days long ago of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He knew that man's sin had separated him from God's presence. He also knew that God had promised a deliverer who would come someday to bring God and man together again, bridging the great gulf between earth and heaven. He realized, too, that the very blessings he had sought so desperately from his father was closely associated with this promise, and that it would somehow come to pass through his own seed, and he was one playing a part in this great role. Nevertheless, although he believed all these things, he himself had never seen God or heard his voice. He surely must have longed for some kind of personal assurance that God was really there and that he was truly concerned for man's salvation, even though well over 2,000 years had come and gone since Adam had sinned. And it's quite likely that often as he traveled, and especially that night as he lay with his head on the stone pillow, he prayed to God for some kind of assurance. And God did appear to him that night. Finally, he could know beyond any question that God cared for him that there was a multitude of angels who were actively working towards man's redemption and for his own personal protection and guidance, and that there was indeed a bridge between heaven and earth by which God could come down to man and man could be brought to God. The great promises of God, even though centered in himself, would surely be performed. And as we said earlier, this great bridge was Christ the Messiah. And of course, there's not a literal staircase to heaven on which angels ascend or descend. This is only a dream, but it was a dream symbolizing a marvelous reality. Though earth is surely separated by a vast, seemingly impassable gulf of space from heaven, the place where God is present, signifying man separated from God's holiness, a bridge has been built to span the gulf. That magnificent ladder can only be built by God himself, and as a matter of fact, it is God himself in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. Almost 2,000 years in the future, from Jacob's day, a devout Israelite named Nathanael was meditating on the things of God and quite probably was reading in the scripture this very account of Jacob's dream, wondering himself how it would ever be possible for there to be a reconciliation between man and God, how there could ever be a real ladder from earth to heaven. He knew that somehow all these promises were centered on the promised Messiah, but would Messiah ever come? As he was meditating and praying about these matters under his fig tree, a dear friend of his suddenly appeared. Philip, knowing Nathanael's great interest in these spiritual matters, excitedly told him of Jesus and urged him to come meet the one who was indeed the Messiah. Nathanael was skeptical at first, but Jesus soon convinced him, telling him things about himself and his activities which he could have only known supernaturally. And that was the occasion that Jesus made the tremendous claim and promise, referring to Jacob's dream, when he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John 1:51. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ claimed that he himself was Jacob's ladder, the one means by which one could go from earth to heaven. He is the way. He is the one mediator between man and God. All the infinite ministries and activities of the mighty angels depend on Him. He is none other than God, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Redeemer of all things. Though in past ages angels have frequently traveled from heaven to earth and back again, at the time when Jesus spoke these words, no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. John 3:13. John 3:13 says that no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Before Christ came to earth in his human form, he had come down on occasion to speak to man, which is what he was doing on this very occasion as Jacob slept. And sometimes such appearances were in the appearance of men. But now, finally, God had actually become man and had entered the earthly sphere to redeem man as he had promised. After his crucifixion and descent into Hades, Jesus rose from the dead and opened the way henceforth into the presence of God. In Ephesians 4:8-10, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. From that time on, whenever a believer died, his spirit would enter into that place of paradise, that place where Lazarus was when he was in Abraham's bosom, that place where the thief on the cross would go, that when Jesus said, this day will thou be with me in paradise, that place where the Apostle Paul is referring to in Philippians 1:23, when he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He also has this in mind in 2 Corinthians 5:8, where he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When this believer dies, angels will accompany him up the ladder. In Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. And when at the end time, the Lord comes to earth again for the great judgment day, 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So he's coming again, and when he comes again, the angels will be with him. Quite literally at that time, the angels will be descending upon the Son of Man. Jacob may not have understood the full New Testament importance of his remarkable dream, but he surely could understand that there was communication between man and God, that God would provide the means by which man could be restored to God. As far as his own personal situation was concerned, he learned beyond any further question that God would care for him and that regardless of future circumstances, God would lead him and fulfill all of his promises that he'd made to him. As Jacob marveled at the ladder in his dream, he saw God himself standing above the ladder and heard him speak words of blessing, repeating all the promises he'd made to Abraham and Isaac concerning the seed and the land. And regardless of his own immediate situation, God promised Jacob that he would be with him wherever he would go, protecting him, and then one day bringing him back to the land he was leaving. Let us read those words again, beginning with the 13th verse. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So very great promises here made by God to Jacob. And one of the things we want to notice here is that he says that in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So every family of the earth, even those of us today, can be blessed through this seed that would come through Jacob, and it would eventually be, of course, a Savior, Jesus Christ. And it should be noted again that God did not offer a single word of rebuke to Jacob, but only blessing and promise. And those who have been quick to rebuke Jacob should realize that they have pronounced a moral judgment which God himself did not make and which therefore should not be made. Our position, our stance is to let the Bible speak and not to force it or arrest it or twist it in a direction it was not really meant to go. The analysis and determination of Jacob's character and his actions should be left to God. And anything that we say about it should be built on God's evaluation and not on one associated with the naturalistic prejudices of the day. And truly, this story of Jacob's dream, this story of the stairway to heaven, this great ladder to heaven, with it being a representative of Christ spanning the gulf between earth and heaven, spanning the gulf between man and God, this is a very great inspiration to us today. It gives us a lot of comfort, a lot of peace, just to know that this situation exists, to know that it's described in this way, and that this is what Jacob was made to see as he was given a broad view of his position as the patriarch who would head these 12 tribes that would later go into the land of Canaan and later possess the land of Canaan. This is a wonderful picture for us, very inspiring to us, and it gives us a lot of pleasure to talk about it and to make application of it. That's our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.